All right, this morning, I want to talk to you, and again, the topic is so vast and so broad, I just have to pick one little thing and kind of zero down on it. It won't answer every question, but, you know, how many of you have ever had doubts? Okay. None of us are immune to doubts. But whenever it comes to your walk with the Lord and following Jesus, let me just tell you something that you've got to come to a place that you begin to learn to do. And that is, there are certain things you have to begin to doubt your doubts. You've got to start doubting your doubts. And that's the picture that I want to paint today. Because we're inundated with doubts. Social media, the internet, you know, is full of doubt-filled questions and information that is designed to intimidate and to discourage you. The desired result is that you ultimately give up following Jesus. You see, but here's what happens. You know, while trying to convince us that there's no God, there's no afterlife, it's just everything here, whatever, you know, when your faith is displaced, let me tell you something. You can abandon your faith. You can abandon certain beliefs, certain things that we know are true from Scripture. But let me tell you something. It will create a vacuum inside your soul. And how many of you know that nature abhors an empty spot? Something will fill it. Something will fill it. And see, that's the subtle deception. You don't really believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You don't really believe that God answers prayer. You're just wasting your time and breath. It's just wishful thinking. Listen, you can abandon that, but they want to convince you, you should just not believe that and don't believe anything. That is impossible. Something will fill that place in you. Listen, nobody, atheist included, no one is without a God or gods. No one. You will serve something, someone. Some serve themselves. They are their God. Money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. Certain philosophies, perspectives. Reminds me of the old Bob Dylan song. You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. Everybody worships. Everybody worships something. There's no culture, well, we never found any little figurines, idols from this ancient culture. Everybody in all time worships something. Someone. Like I said, even if it's just their self. Some people, their feelings are their God. Well, I just feel this way. Well, okay, you know what? It'll change how you feel. Feelings are fickle. Very fickle. But the pain is still there. Yes, I know. But you got to make a decision. Scripture is very clear that in the time we live, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, the Spirit clearly says, this is not up for debate or dispute, it's clear, it says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, they never come across that way.
Hey, let me give you this demon-inspired teaching.
No. It's just, this is the way things are now. This is just what everybody's moving toward. It says, such teaching come through hypocritical liars. Don't you just love that? You see that every day on TV, don't you? It's amazing. Politicians, oh, no, this dirty stinking rat over here, he said this. If they show the clip, he didn't say that. Oh, no, he said that. Okay? It's just you saying that. There's no proof. In fact, we've shown you that he said just the opposite of what you're saying. Hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. That's why you can't reason with more and more people. They won't. And in this verse, you need to understand the Holy Spirit isn't only talking about sinners, people outside of Christ. In our time, even among Christians, we see some people departing from the faith. We see a rise of spiritualism. Oh, I'm a spiritual person. We see even believers speaking lies and hypocrisy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds," now we're going to come back, we're going to define what this word minds means, "will be led astray from the simplicity." Some people want to make it so complicated. It's not. "The simplicity and purity of devotion, your commitment to follow Jesus Christ." The word minds here, he says, "I'm concerned that Satan is bringing deception through craftiness, something that's crafted to bring doubts to your minds." The mind here is that it's not only the psychological faculty of understanding, reasoning, and thinking, and deciding. It's where things are pieced together. And you got to be careful what pieces you're using to put it together. Listen, the world around us will always seek to erode your commitment to Jesus. Unfortunately, this is what happened. You go to the next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Paul continues, he says, "You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach." You know, there's a lot of different Jesuses being preached today. And I want Jesus of Scripture. I don't know where you get this Jesus. He says, "Or a different kind of spirit than the one you've received." You've received the Spirit of God. It's brought new life into you. But you're open to a different kind of spirit. "Or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." How many of you know that you are born again? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know that. I mean, that's not to say that we're perfect or sinless living in this world. But can I just remind you an old earthly saying? It goes like this: you dance with the one who brung you. Right? I'd like to twist that around just a little bit and say that we're to continue with the one who bought you. How many of you know you've been bought with a price? Jesus Christ shed his blood. He gave his life to purchase you and me, to bring us out of slavery, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, where there's life. Amen. Backing up to chapter 2 in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, he says, "For we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions." Well, okay. Too many people are ignorant of Satan's strategies and tactics. But there is a foundation that if it's established firmly in your heart and mind, it'll save you a lot of heartache. And so I want to say what I want to say this morning in multiple ways. So we're going to say them now, and we'll say them once more a little later. But follow along with me. Here it is. Don't let what you don't know cause you to doubt what you do know. Or said a little bit differently, don't throw away what you know because of what you don't know. Don't turn away from or give up what you know about Jesus because of something you don't know or understand. Now, I got one more, but before we get there, let me just interject here just for a second. You remember when Jesus was, he'd been ministering, he told his disciples, you know, hey, get in the boat, go to the other side. He stayed up on a mountain, he prayed. So in the middle of the night, a big storm happens on the sea, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Remember that? And these guys are bucketing water out and doing all kinds of things, trying to stay afloat, not sink. And they see this figure coming at them in the water. And what do? Same thing you and I would do. It's a ghost! And Jesus shouts back, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And Peter says, "Well, Jesus, if it's really you, tell me that I can come and walk to you on the water." Now, where he got such an idea, I don't know. But hey, you know, Peter's criticized because you know what's going to happen. He's going to start walking on the water. He's looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. And then he starts to notice around and thinks, this is impossible. The wind, the waves are crashing around. And he's walking water, but he begins to doubt. And he sinks, and he cries out, "Help." And I'm so glad. Scripture's important, even these little details. Sometimes we just read too fast. Peter just yelled, "Help." And I love the way Mark's gospel says it. It says, immediately, Jesus reached forth his hand. He didn't come along. "Peter, Peter, Peter, what am I going to do with you? Oh, come on, get back up just a little bit. I'm talking to you, man. Quit sinking." No, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Now, he did talk to him on the way back. He says, "Peter, you have little faith. Come on, you doubted. You were doing so good." Now, think about this. Peter began to doubt what he was doing. He's walking on water. Wait a minute. We can't walk on water. This is crazy. Now, I know we pick on Peter. But listen, Jesus didn't say, "Come, Peter," when if it's you, Lord, tell me I can come to you on the water. He just said, "Come." And whoever wanted to, Peter was the only one brave enough to get out of the boat. Let's go. I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. Okay? Now, I know we're talking about doubt, but I want you to see the faith that's involved here, even if it's little faith. Okay, so Peter, you know, here he is. He's walking on the water, but then he began to doubt what he was doing. When you've already experienced something, don't start doubting it in the middle of it. "Oh, God's sustaining me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wait a minute. This is impossible. Oh, no, God." I've seen lots of people just begin to fall apart in the middle of a miracle. Okay, let's move on. Last way I'm going to say this is trust Jesus when you know what to do, and trust Jesus when you don't know what to do. Well, where do you get this, Pastor? Well, all through Scripture, but I just want to look at one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. Jesus says, "But hold fast. Hang on to. Don't let go of. Don't start doubting what you have a hold of." I know that I've been holding on to you, Jesus, and I've been sustained, but this is impossible, and you let go. I'm so glad he didn't let go. "But hold fast what you have till I come." You may be surprised by something or caught off guard by somebody's questions or a thought that comes to you, a reasonable sounding argument that you hear, but listen to me, it hasn't caught God off guard. And there is an answer. There is an answer to whatever question has been posed to you or that comes to your mind. There is an answer. But so many people, they come across this conundrum and, "Oh, well, I don't know the answer, so there must not be an answer." And then they just begin to distance themselves. Or Jesus keeps moving and they just say, I don't know. And so they just stand and stop moving. They're paralyzed. There is an answer, even if you don't know it right away. So what did Jesus say? Seek, which literally means seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. There is an answer. Bring your doubts, your questions to the Lord. Talk about it with God's people. And just because you ask two people who know less than you and they don't have an answer, that don't count. There is an answer. Most people, you know I love you, right? So I'm not talking about you. But we all know people. They're just too lazy to seek. Well, God, I just don't know about this, so I guess I it's probably true, and I just doubt now, and so I'm just going to just kind of stand over here and not do anything. Because you're too lazy to go seek. Oh, yeah, you got a problem. You need to fix something at the house, the car. You're quick to pull up a YouTube video and search until you find how to fix that. You won't even do that whenever it comes to the things of faith. Back when God redeemed his people, he brought them out of Moses, you know, led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they're all set to go into the promised land, right? And so they say, let's send 12 spies to go spy out the land, find out what's there. You know the story. They go, they're gone for 40 days, they come back, and they bring back, said one vine of grapes had to be carried by two guys because it was so big. I mean, it is truly. They said it's a land flowing with milk and honey, just to say it's a very prosperous place. This is a great land. But we can't take it. My favorite excuse that they give, we're not going to turn there and read it. You can read it. It's Numbers chapters 13 and 14. But they said, there are giants in the land, the sons of Anak. And this is interesting. This is what they said. It said, we are grasshoppers before them. We think that, and they think that too. I just want to know which giant they went up to and knocked on his kneecap. Do I seem like a grasshopper to you?
I do.
Okay, thank you. No. God had, see, they had experienced God bringing them out with great power from the most powerful nation on the planet at the time. Egypt was the U.S. of A back in that day. And God totally obliterated and bankrupt that country and brought his people out. It's been well said, God got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. And too often, God has saved us, did the biggest miracle he's ever going to do for you by the new birth, bringing you out of darkness and bringing you into the kingdom of light. And yet we're faced because we're a few dollars short. We've got a pain here. If you're my age, you've got a pain here, pain here, pain here, pain here. And, you know, it's just, well, hey, that's not a negative confession. Stay with me. Jesus is the one who is my life, and he sustains me, keep me. But things perish with the using. And the more I use my body and so forth, well, guess what? It wears out just like your lawnmower does. Nobody's got their 50-year-old mower. Well, anyway. Not without major overhauls. Okay, that's beside the point. But the point is, God brought them out of the most powerful nation. Egypt was more powerful than any nation in the promised land, and he brought them out, but they think God can't bring us in. We can't do this. It's impossible. And they let what they really did know, they let They allowed what they really didn't know, grasshoppers in their own sight and in their sight, caused them to doubt and forsake what they did know, that God is more powerful than any nation on the planet. And as a result, they missed their opportunity. Don't let what you don't know, looking at a situation, this is impossible. I don't see how my situation, my circumstance here, my relationship, this, I don't see how it could ever change. Well, just because you are finite and cannot see and don't know and understand all mysteries doesn't mean that God can't. Amen. Quite the contrary. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace, remember? Remember what they said to the king? Our God can deliver us. In other words, they're not standing there focused on how God could do the impossible. They had made a decision. They knew how to deal with their doubts, and they doubted their doubts. And they said, but even if he doesn't, king, we're not going to fall down and worship you or your gods. So in they went. And who was there to meet them? Jesus. When they came out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Basically, what they're saying is, even if God doesn't deliver us, we're not quitting on him in exchange for what you're offering. You see, you got to stop and think about it. In the long run, there is nothing in this world that anything, anybody, any system, any savings account, investment, there's nothing in this world that in the long run can offer what something better than what God has brought in offering to you. There's nothing. I added this in at the last minute. Mike, could you put up Luke chapter 18, verse 27? Jesus said this, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, I want to... What is with? Is with a preposition? What is it? My teachers are nodding, so. Who are you with? Are you with men? Common human understanding, what the world is preaching and saying and the facts that they lay out. See, this is this, and you can't prove this, therefore it's not. So just because you can't prove something. You know how many things that science and people today believe that 100 years ago seemed impossible and there's no way we can't understand this mystery? And now we can. Who are you with? Are you with men? You with people? You with the world system in its system? Are you with God? Who are you with? God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. This seems impossible to me. But just because it's impossible from a human standpoint, I'm with you. I'm with you. Who are you with? In every circumstance, in every problem, in every situation in your life, who are you with? Well, God, I just don't know. I can't understand. I can't see how this could change. Well, just because you can't see it or figure it out. I don't want to make this pro or against. It's not about politics. Just stick with the illustration. Some people, you can't even mention the name Trump without... I don't care what you think of the president. It's not the point. But I just think it's amazing. All these reporters, well, he's not telling us what his war plan is, and so there is no plan. And he gets up and says, why would I tell you idiots? Because then you're just going to go tell them, then our enemies are going to know. Yeah, we're going to come bomb at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to hit this spot, so. Now, like I said, I'm, it's not about who's president. That's not my point. The point is there's you got people thinking, well, if we don't know what the plan is, therefore there is no plan. Just because you don't know what God has planned for you doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you. Just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean that God doesn't. Say, God, I'm hanging on to you. Let me get to my last sentence in my sermon. Would you just hold on? Keep holding on tight to the one who's holding you. Okay? Hold on to the one who's holding you. Don't let doubts cause you to, oh, well, this is impossible. I can't figure this out. Doesn't make any sense. Not for a born-again believer. Okay, so what do we do? Well, there are several ways to deal with doubt, but today, as believers, because that's primarily who I'm talking to here today, this is what we do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning verse 3, Paul says, "For though we live our lives in these fleshly bodies, we do not wage war." We're not conducting war according to our fleshly, just what we can understand and what we can figure out as human beings. "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, carnal, but mighty in," another good preposition here, "in God. And I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. For pulling down strongholds," certain ways of thinking that just seem to impossible to crack that nut. "Casting down," Old King James says imaginations, here it's arguments, "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What you do know. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now it's interesting, this word "thought" here, bringing every thought into captivity. The word "thought" here means a plot, a plan. It is something that is designed, calculated. It has to do with things that have been designed to deceive and trick and cause you to doubt. Designed just for you. The idea is to neutralize. What these thoughts want to do, they want to neutralize what you know, what you've already lived and experienced walking with Jesus. It's designed to bring certain deceptions, lies, twists on the truth, to follow your own reasoning, the things that you've been wondering about, so that you assume that the thought actually came from you. But listen, doubts don't automatically generate themselves. There is a spirit of doubt. And you can choose to entertain that. Oh, yes, there's more. Tell me more. Or you can confront it and say, "No. I know who has saved me. I know who has healed me. I know who has provided for everything that I need day by day. I know who has helped my family, my church family. I know the one who sustains me. And just because I can't figure out how I'm going to get through this next thing," listen to me. Can I just tell you a secret? I've been through hell and back many times, but listen to me. When you're in hell, don't stop. Keep walking. And sometimes you have to do it. It hurts, it's painful, and you feel, but if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, whether you feel like it or not, eventually you'll walk through what you've been going through and you'll come out on the other side. Keep following Jesus. Doubt your doubts and just keep walking. Hold on to the one who's holding on to you. Don't let go. Begin to doubt your doubts. You can entertain these things, these thoughts, or they can be confronted. You know, it's amazing among believers, there's a tremendous gullibility to buy into the thoughts sown into our mind by doubt without recognizing the plot to erode your faith. The Bible says that those thoughts are to be confronted by cast down. No, Jesus is Lord. And I'll tell you, there's been more than one time in my life I've had to revert to my 8-year-old self. When these thoughts just keep harassing my mind and go, la, 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 no, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. I'm following Jesus. I'm telling you, it seems supercilious and ridiculous, but it worked for me. I'm not going to entertain certain thoughts because I know in whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. And I'm with Him. Who are you with? I'm going to go down to Galatians chapter 3. Again, you got people struggling with the same things that you and me, we all struggle with. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, cast a spell upon you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? You know what happened to Jesus. You know what has happened in your own heart since you became born again. He says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive God's Holy Spirit by the things that you could figure out and do and work and do the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Did you hear the promises, the good news, and you believe that and you chose to move that direction and a miracle took place in you? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect by what you can do and figure out on your own by the flesh? No. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, He, God Almighty, who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles, unexplainable things that you can't figure out among you, does He do it by your own works, by what you figure out, or by the hearing of faith? Listen, this is why we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that over and over, grow in the knowledge. How are you going to do that? Well, part of it is being here like you are today. So it's just taking in God's word every day. Whether it's a lot or little, just taking God's word. Jesus said, people don't live by natural things, by bread, natural bread, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Taking in God's word over time transforms your heart and your mind, the way you think, the way you feel about certain things. It roots out things that aren't good and not good for you or anybody else and replaces them with the truth instead of just what's been true in your life. Let me end with this one. You remember after the resurrection, before Jesus has gone back to heaven, disciples are hiding for fear. Jesus shows up to him and says, hey, it's me. Hello. And he talks to them for a little bit, but Thomas was not there. And so when they meet up with Thomas again, Thomas, guess what? We saw the Lord. Yes, we did. Yeah, we saw him. He said these things. And Thomas is going, uh-uh. This is what he said. Now, Thomas called Didymus. How many of you know what Didymus means? Twin. Okay. He's called twin. I don't know if he had a twin or if that's just he liked to dress like other people. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. He's alive. But he said unto them, unless I see for myself the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Now, could I just put it in modern language? Unless I see something and unless I feel something, I refuse to believe. When did God fall off the throne and your feelings replace him? Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Thomas, come here. Put your finger here. See my hands. Feel something. You want to feel? Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Doubt your doubts. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said to him, and in my mind, Thomas just falls to his knees, my Lord and my God. We're not actually told that he ever did any of these things. But when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen anything, not felt anything, and yet believe. I've been through some very numbing experiences in my life. Felt nothing for God. If anything, probably against God. But I chose to doubt my doubts and keep putting one foot in front of the other, following Jesus. Don't stand still when you're in the middle of a mess. Why would you want to stay there? Oh, this is nice. I like what they've done with the room. This is what we know. Okay, I'm going to do something that's going to make my wife cringe. But I want you to sing real loud with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. He Yeah. I got a little lost there because I changed the word to these songs for my kids and my grandkids. He is great and he makes you strong. So I don't know the words anymore, but I do know this. This is what I do know. Jesus loves me. I know what the promises of God are. Why do you think God gave you the scripture in writing so that you could hold on to the covenant promises? You have a covenant with God. And yet we're so quick to doubt the terms of the covenant. Who he is to us and what he's provided. Oh gosh, let's all stand. We're going to have real singers come and say it with me one more time. I want you, look with them one more time. Can we go back to those final four? Don't let what you don't know cause you to doubt what you do know about the Lord. Don't throw away what you know because of what you don't know. There's so many areas of things. You'll go to the doctor and he'll say words you have no idea what he's saying. And you'll go, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And you have no idea what's going to happen. You trust a human doctor over the one who sent Jesus, the one who came and gave his life for you? I'm not saying you shouldn't trust your doctor. Family doctors that I have, I love you. I believe God. Do what God says. Don't turn away from or give up what you know about Jesus because of something you don't know or understand. You don't understand something? Just keep moving. Trust Jesus when you know what to do. Trust Jesus when you don't know what to do.